When you see someone sipping on a crisp, refreshing drink from McDonald's, you may suddenly crave one too. And that's normal. It's more than a drink. It's a McDonald's drink.
All your ice-cold go-to drinks are here whenever that mood hits. From classic Coca-Cola to a sparkling Sprite to a sweet, sweet tea. Get any size for just $1.39, only at McDonald's. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
You are listening to the Sideline Sass Podcast, Episode 4, Mother Knows Best.
This week is the advice episode, and our very special guest, Joanne Bowers, is going to tell you the secret to having it all. So you're going to want to listen.
Let's get started.
Hey everybody, Emily Van Buskirk here with Kaylee Krish. Welcome to the Sideline Sass Podcast.
If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming by. The Sideline Sass Podcast is produced every 2 weeks for your enjoyment, and the show notes are found at audioboom.com.
Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow the show on social media on Twitter and Instagram at Sideline Sass with 3 S's, or throw us a like on Facebook at Sideline Sass.
Yep, and...
Oh.
Yes, but wait, there's more. We'll also let you follow us on our own personal pages on Instagram and Twitter. That's at MLNEM and at Miss Krish.
Perfect. All those links, in case you weren't writing them down like an idiot, you can find them in our show notes at the aforementioned audioboom.com page.
Hey, Em.
Yeah.
It's time to get some advice.
I need it. Let's go. All right, guys, here we are, the advice episode.
Let's start off by saying, before you get into your craziness, let's start off by saying that we are able to do our podcast from Cal Stadium.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so we are podcasting live, literally sitting on the ground in Cal Memorial Stadium, where just mere hours ago, Cal upset Ole Miss. It was amazing.
It was crazy.
A lot of people didn't think they would do it. I did. I want to go on record as saying that I said they would win this game, and I need more credit for that.
I thought that it would be close, but I did not think they were going to win. Sorry, guys. No. But I'm really glad they did.
The other thing that we're celebrating today is Kaylee's birthday.
Woo!
It is officially today, the day that my best friend was brought into this world. So I have a very special gift.
And champagne.
It's some champagne.
Yay.
So we're just going to...
Yay for me.
Sip some bubbly.
Birthday. It's my birthday.
I know, we can maybe add some fun birthday music. So I'm going to pour this, and we're going to have a little bit of champagne, and we're going to talk about... We're going to give advice. So neither of us has had the easiest life, and we've all, like most people, made decisions that weren't always...
Cheers.
Correct. But I think the things that we've learned... could really be helpful to other people. So
yeah, I'm sitting here really trying to figure out what kind of advice I have.
Well, let me go first, and then you can go. I think from a sports perspective, one of the things that I want to say is when I first started sports writing, I was very anal about getting to the games early and making sure I had all this stuff with me and like, you know, how was I going to get my makeup done? What was I going to wear? I was so concerned with that.
You made it kind of a stressful thing for yourself.
Yeah. So I think my advice to other female sports writers specifically is, you know, to wear something comfortable, because really you're going to be moving around a lot. You're going to sweat. It's not going to be pretty all the time. I mean, camera girls, you guys have, I don't know, you're like magic unicorns in the way that you...
No, I still haven't been able to figure it out because I see these girls on the sidelines with their like beautiful heels on and all this stuff. I'm like, how do you do this?
Yeah. So be comfortable. Have a really good bag. Like, have a bag that can hold many things in compartments but is comfortable on your shoulder. Don't try and be too... I've tried to have really fashionable bags, whatever. I won't go backpack route. I won't do it.
We're women.
Yeah, but I will say having... And I'm going to say this on air, is that my current bag is a diaper bag. It's a Coach diaper bag that my parents bought for me thinking it was a book bag, but it is a diaper bag. And no one can tell for the most part. I mean, now you all know, but it has so many pockets and places for me to put things. It's a miracle bag. So...
No, I think that's some really good advice.
Thank you.
So I was trying to think, like, what my biggest piece of advice would be, but... I'm not really sure what it is. However, I do have to say that, you know, we're both females in a sports industry, which is male-dominated, obviously.
Yes.
So I think one of my best pieces of advice is going to be, like, just own it. Mm-hmm. You know? Like,
own being a female.
Own being a female, but knowing sports. Like, own oh, yeah. loving sports. And just own it. And I love proving guys wrong when they think, like, oh, so you think you know a lot about sports. Like, yeah. I do, and I'm going to try to school you on it.
That's
so
a really good
I think
response.
Just I think confidence is probably going to be my biggest piece of advice, is having confidence and knowing that what you, like, have confidence in what you're talking about, because you're not wrong. Like, I sometimes get a little concerned that, like, maybe my opinion isn't strong enough.
Yeah.
Or, like, the right opinion.
Yeah.
But then when you sit back, a lot of times what will happen is I'll say something and then I was right. I'll hear a male announcer saying the exact same
and
thing.
Like,
and I'm like,
I
see,
was thinking that.
I was, that's what I was saying. So I think, own it and be confident.
I agree. I think that's how I get through 90% of my conversations.
My life.
Even if I don't, not right, I will literally just act like I am right. And then usually people will fall in line. That's a good piece of advice. Another
something that I think you are really good at. Let's give people advice on how to buy the best ticket to a college game.
I think, and actually any game, there's this one app called Game Time, and I use it all the time. And when I'm going to a game and I'm covering it and my significant other is coming with me and he wants to go, I set him up on Game Time and he's able to buy tickets literally minutes before the game, and they drop so drastically. So if you want to go, like, a couple years ago, we went to Utah, Washington, and it was, like, the biggest ticket in town, and the tickets were standing room only was, like, $200. So we're sitting out in the parking lot, because I have a credential. We're sitting out there just like, what are we going to do? He's compulsively checking, and he bought a ticket for $15, I think.
Oh, my God.
Because they drop them so close to game time, which is why the name of the app. So, honestly, that's been the best way to, I think, buy a ticket to a game, any game. They have every single kind, like Major League Baseball, pro football, whatever. That's where I get all my good seats. So people think I have this really cool life, but really I'm just like hacking it with these apps and whatnot. And they give you views of the seat, which I think is important because I like to be down low. And here I can actually see what row I'm in and where exactly it is.
Where in the stadium it is.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
That's my other
advice. Game day attire?
Ooh.
What do you think the if you're going as a fan?
Ooh, yeah.
What is the perfect game day attire?
That's a good question, because girls always have a hard time finding, like, cute stuff to wear. Guys have it so easy. Although
all they have to do is put a jersey on.
They really do.
Yeah.
But there's definitely a few things.
My favorite one would be, well, one of them, I think, Live Love Game Day.
Yeah.
I think they're based in Texas. That's what all of their Instagram posts look like.
Yes.
But they're really awesome. And I actually have a super cute hat that I wore yesterday to the beach. And it is a baseball hat that has, like, diamonds on it. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. And, you know, my boyfriend plays baseball, so it's nice to rep that.
But. Yes. They have – so their handle on Instagram is Live Love Game Day. Mm-hmm. And if you go there, they have literally football, baseball, really cute stuff.
College, pro, I think. Yeah.
Really fun, like, phrases. So that's one of the ones that I think we like to wear.
Yeah.
We got our Bullpen Mafia shirts from a similar Instagram site. That's a great thing about Instagram, is you can go on there and you can – look at all these, like, and Etsy, too.
Yeah.
If you go on Etsy and you write football, you can find so many cool, cool stores.
Original stuff that, like, that people will compliment on, which is always the best part of work.
So you can do that route where you wear the, you know, T-shirt of your team. Or, personally, now, since we've been covering, I like to dress up a little nicer on game day. I like to look nice. I know I'm going to be in pictures, so I like to, you know, wear something maybe the average person wouldn't wear. So my go-to store, and I've shared the secret with Kaylee, is Vici.
Oh, I love it.
And it's V-I-C-I, and there's a store in Walnut Creek, and there's also one in
Newport.
So, I've been going there since they opened in this little tiny room in Walnut Creek, and now they have a beautiful store on, I think it's North Main, I'm not sure, on Broadway, one of the streets in Walnut Creek, but their Instagram's definitely worth a follow. I believe it's Vici Dolls. Mm-hmm. And they have really cute stuff. So girls, and I've shared this with a lot of my friends that cover games and are on camera, they have perfect looks for whether you're going as a fan or you're covering, and it's all very casual but cute. So
yeah, I love it.
That's my other.
So, like we said earlier, we don't have the greatest advice, but the advice we do have is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But we are about to get some real life advice from our guest, Joanne Bowers, who is the mom of Ross Bowers, who is the starting quarterback for Cal football.
Yep.
And she has a ton of great advice that we are going to have bestowed on us.
And then share with you.
And then we'll share with you.
Yeah.
So stay tuned. And next up is Joanne Bowers.
All right. All right, guys. And we are back now for this fourth episode of the podcast. Woo-hoo. And our very special guest is mother of Cal quarterback Ross Bowers, Joanne Bowers. Thank you for coming.
Hello.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
Yay.
So she's she is many things. You are many things. You are a coach.
Mm-hmm.
You are a mother.
Mm-hmm.
And you are now our celebrity guest. So we have
celebrity.
So
which hat am I wearing today?
Exactly.
Let's do celebrity right now.
Okay. Let's do the celebrity.
Okay.
Joanne coached at University of Washington gymnastics for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Very long time.
Yes.
And each of those years, I did my homework.
Mm-hmm.
Each of them, you led them to NCAA West Regionals.
Correct.
And you also sent individuals to the NCAA Regionals.
Nationals.
Yes. Oh,
yes.
Sorry. Okay.
Yes. The team always went to regionals. Individuals to nationals.
Yes.
Which was there a most memorable year for you? In I know they're all great and all athletes are great, but is there one year that stands out in all these 10?
Do you know, they're all special because of the relationships you have with the young women. They really are. And we were fortunate that the staff I had, and Elise Ray took over my position as she's now the head coach. And I coached her at Michigan, as a matter of fact.
That's fun.
And I just...
Did you recommend her for
most definitely. I mean, we made sure that happened. Okay? And I knew she was the person that was ready to do it. And she helped us so much to get... And took the team to Nationals last year, which we knew that was probably going to happen. But it needed to be her to actually keep the consistency, keep things going. But the way we recruited... I think in the way University of Washington is, and this is not a commercial for University of Washington. I do,
well, but I get some sponsorship.
But I have
here
to say, the administration and the people there are so supportive, and all the coaches work together,
That's
and it's
awesome.
A great place to be and to work. And so it was easy for us to recruit, we felt, if we could get them to come on campus and visit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
because
yeah.
So then we'd get these wonderful young women that were great students, great people, and good gymnasts. So then when you're trying to get them to come in from all over the country and gel, we did a lot for team chemistry because we knew if the team chemistry and they cared about each other was good, we'd have success.
There you go.
So that was always kind of our biggest thing was, hey, let's do this. Because I always say if someone knows you care about them, you can kick them in the pants too. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But if they don't think you care about them,
then they're not
you can't.
Take it.
Mm-hmm. It's just you're picking on them, right?
Yeah.
So I think that was what led to a lot of the success. And I think that's what's keeping the success going is the culture that was built and just wonderful people.
That's awesome.
Wonderful people and having the opportunity to do good things.
Yes.
You know, but Elise has taken them a step. That was always our goal.
That's awesome.
Was to do that, and she's doing a fantastic job.
We'll have to,
I'm so
awesome.
Proud of her.
I was telling Kaylee we need to check out more college gymnastics.
You should.
It's
you
so
really
much fun.
Should. It's such
I love
a,
it.
And everybody that comes to a meet that has never been to a college meet is like, oh my God, this is so fantastic. It's a party. It's and it's an event.
Music.
It's an event.
Yeah.
It
wow.
is an event. And they're so amazing. The things they can do is so amazing.
Well, Utah gymnastics actually draws a bigger crowd than a lot of college football.
Yes.
To believe it or not, I read that.
Yeah.
They've
been
it's okay.
They have been number one in attendance for women's gymnastics for like 30 years.
Yeah.
They average about 15,000 home meet.
Unbelievable.
They average that.
And, that's insane.
But their fans, Salt Lake City completely closes down for
it's
gymnastics.
I couldn't believe it.
So I just want to point out for the listeners
that we
are on the concourse at Cal Stadium.
Yeah.
So if you're hearing noise and cars, you know, a little... cars driving by and blowers and stuff, it's because we were at the stadium.
Right.
So we're live.
We have
a nice environment going.
We're at the Cal Football Stadium outside of where Joanne was sitting.
Yes.
Actually, almost to the exact section.
Yeah.
Where you were sitting watching Cal defeat Ole Miss.
Yes.
Watching
that was
her
so exciting last night.
I couldn't even believe when I...
So exciting.
So I was not around a TV, but I was checking in on my phone, and when I saw the final score, I literally screamed. I was like,
I texted
Oh my God,
right.
I could not believe it.
I always have my phone with me, and we have huge family on both sides. Yeah. We had 30 family members drive into the UNC game. To the UNC game, right? And so everybody's like, I think in the last 5 minutes of the game, I got 18 texts. And I didn't look at them until after the game was over. But it was like that fast. Everybody's like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But so. It was to me as a mom, like my husband, they asked him on the Pac-12 network yesterday, do you get nervous before game stuff? He's like, no. He said, this is so fun being here and not being part of some of the other stuff and being to be able to be a parent.
Right.
And just like we're doing tailgates and we're coming up to the bear walk.
She texted me, she's like, I'm going to be at this tailgate.
Like, it's so much fun. So we're having, we've got our parents' hat on. Mm-hmm. We really have our parents' hat on. But with that, as the mom, I'm so nervous. Like, don't hurt him. Don't hurt him. And then I see some big guy running at him. And I'm like, get rid of the ball, Russ. Get rid of the ball. And then I see him just heave it, right? Or whatever you say. And they just kill him. And I'm looking and I'm looking and I'm
She's
looking.
Not even looking.
Get up. And the stands are going nuts. And I'm like, they must have caught it in the end zone. It must be a touchdown.
But you're just watching
And I'm looking, I'm like, get up. You know, and then I look over and I'm like, touchdown, we're ahead. Oh, yay. You know, but it's like, until he gets up, I'm not cheering.
Oh, man.
That's very sure. Well, you
until
mentioned
he gets up.
You mentioned the drive. So they followed you. The Pac-12 Network
yesterday.
Has a show. For everyone that listens, we have a lot of listeners that are across the country that aren't Pac-12.
Oh,
so it's fun to tell them, you know, we have a network, believe it or not, and they have a Drive, which is a show that follows football around. Mm-hmm. So Joanne and her husband and I guess other family members were there?
Yes.
They
got
to...
My older son and his wife drove in, so they were part of it too, and some of our friends that came to the tailgate.
So what was that like having cameras with you on game day?
Well... It was fun, but it's like what I said earlier, a little bit stressful because you kind of have to watch what you say when you want to say something inappropriate and you're like, wait, the mic's on, don't say that, you know, and then they're laughing at us going, don't worry, we'll cut that out or whatever, you know, stuff like that. But you're kind of a little bit more aware and you see cameras and stuff. And we were trying to be more of the incognito parents. And then when these cameras are falling, so everybody's looking at us like who are these celebrities? And we're like, we're nobody. Just please don't ignore us, you know, type deal. But they had heard of our story of both of us being college coaches and moving here to be part of Ross's life in New York. And they thought that was an interesting segment and thought, oh, let's do a story on it type deal. So they just liked, I think because I don't know if there's ever been two Division One coaches that have, you know, we've been married 36 years that have made their careers work and had children and fought, you know, things like that. So I don't know. I think people seem to be like, wow, how'd you do that?
Right.
And we don't know how we did it either. You
well,
know, it's just, you just
idea.
Do it. You I've, just do it.
I've been talking to you about this for 2 years now. And
you have.
I just didn't
you
get
have.
My, I get off
you
my
know,
bed next time.
You know, and I have had many female coaches. Oh, yeah. Many female coaches that have gotten started in the business that, you know, are getting married or thinking about having children or this, and they always come over and they're like, how do you do it? Because I'm afraid I really want to be a mom, but I don't know if I can, but I see you doing it. How do you do it? And I'm like, well, first of all, you have to have a supportive partner, too, that can help. Mm-hmm. You can't do it by yourself. Then when people talk about it takes a village, it really does. Like Ross's high school coach and his wife flew in last weekend for a game, and they're coming in this weekend too with their kids, and it's like they helped raise Ross for us, and they're like his second parents. But it's you need people like that, especially if you don't live near your immediate family and stuff too.
Right.
So it's so many people that help along the way, and I think I always tell young women, especially, I said you can do it, you really can, but you're going to have to compromise sometimes about your house isn't always going to be clean. You're going to feel guilty half the time that you're not spending enough time at work, you're not spending enough time with the kids. I said, but if wherever you are, if you just make sure you're present at that moment there and do the best you can.
Yeah.
It'll all work out. You know, it will all work out. Nothing's ever going to be easy or perfect, but if you want it bad enough, you'll make it work.
Yeah.
You'll make it work.
I think a key to that, too, is the fact of, like, being willing to take the help.
Yes.
And I think that's really hard for a lot of women because they want to do it all. They want to be super mom and do everything.
And I tried that at first. No, I did.
Yeah.
I believe
that.
I really did try that at first, and you run yourself completely ragged.
Yeah. Yeah.
No,
so you have to
right.
be willing to take the help.
You have to be willing to take. And I remember my mom saying one time, she said, you know, you're one of these people that you want to be great at everything. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, sometimes you're just going to, maybe you're going to need to hire a housekeeper. Maybe you're going to have to let your house be dirty. Maybe you're going to have to do this and you can't feel guilty all the time. And I started taking her advice later in life that I wish I would have started taking it earlier in life.
I feel like that's true of everyone and
I agree.
myself. If I listened to my parents, you know, I'd probably be, you know,
I know.
very successful business person right now instead of a sports writer.
But you know what I figured out, though, is we all try to tell our kids stuff to avoid that you don't want them to make the same mistakes you did, or you don't want them to go through. And what I'm finding out is sometimes you really do have to make those mistakes, and you have to figure it out on your own, and then you'll learn from it. And then, sometimes, but it's hard as a parent to watch your child go through that when you want to say, just do the right thing and you won't have to feel that way. But it's like, no, they're probably going to have to learn that lesson the hard way, just like we did.
Just like we did.
Yep. So this has been a different year. We've got the Wilcox era.
Yes.
The Wilcox. We've got all new coaches. I mean, we've even been, we got very close to the staff last year.
Okay.
And now it's like, we're learning everyone else
learning all over again. Yes.
What is, I mean, you guys are, they're 3-0, so it's like the attitude must be good.
Right.
But prior to these wins, were people apprehensive? Have they embraced the new regime?
Right.
What is,
I'm going to tell you straight up.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give you anything, you know, like, I knew you were going to ask me this question, and my thought was, I don't want to ever throw anybody under the bus. Because we're all, it's funny, when I see coaches that get let go, they get hired somewhere else.
They do.
They didn't all of a sudden become a bad coach. They didn't all of a sudden become a great coach.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's just the timing of things.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's your circumstances that year. Sometimes it's injury. Sometimes it's this where you want to be. And if you're happy there. There's so many different things that come into success of a program,
right?
We will always be forever grateful for Sonny Dykes giving Ross the opportunity to come to Cal. Okay?
Right.
Always. And many of the coaches he had a couple different coaches, his quarterback coach, and then some. Mark Tummerdahl is a friend of John's that he knew and stuff and actually recruited him.
Okay.
Those people are people that are good people, good coaches. All this. But I will say this. There was so much going on at the end of last season, and there was a lot of, you know, apprehension about so many things. Are they leaving? Are they staying? Are they happy here? Are they not? And the kids were all kind of in a disarray. I honestly think when they made the change and for Coach Wilcox to come in, and with Tui and with Coach Baldwin and with Coach, you know, all the, it was what Cal needed at that moment for a breath of fresh air.
Right.
We used to always say, you can't fire a team, right?
No, you cannot.
But when you want to make a change in a program and you want to start some excitement or have the hope of something changing or something, what do? You change a coaching. You hope the culture is all of a sudden, and you hope the alumni and you hope the people are going to get excited about things. So I think immediately there was excitement of, oh,
here's new.
We can do this. Now, for us as a family, we were so excited in who they hired because Coach Wilcox was a DC at Washington. And everyone loved him. I did. We loved him.
Good guy.
The players loved him. He is who he is, and he will not change for anyone, which we love. Okay? I mean, we think he is professional. He is good. He believes in what he believes.
Right.
He makes kids accountable. It's just, he does the right things, right? And he cares about the kids so much. And then he hires his OC and DC that have been head coaches before. And it's kind of like, man, how brilliant is that? When it's your first time being a head coach, if
surround
I could
yourself
have had
with
somebody with me that could have said, hey, watch out for this, watch out. I was calling other head coaches all the time saying, how did you handle this? And then you still have to do what you think's right.
Yeah.
I think he's just made some incredible hires. And Tui was Ross's absolute favorite coach when he was going through the whole recruiting thing.
Okay.
And we're from Bothell. Woodinville is the next town over. Okay. They were from the same area. Okay. Tui's sister had the office next to mine. She's the associate head coach for volleyball and has been for years.
Wow.
Their family is a huge, big athletic family in the Seattle area. Well, when he found out Tui was going to be his coach, it's like, Mom, I just scored big time because Now, Tui's tough on him. Tui expects that. But that's what he wanted.
And what he needed.
And what needed and what he and everything else. But he knows Tui cares about him and he knows. And I tell you, we've just been so impressed with the staff. Now, granted, I would have said this to you a month ago.
Yeah.
Before they played a game.
Yeah.
So nothing has changed in the three wins.
Mm-hmm.
We
okay.
didn't just jump on the bandwagon because they're
winning.
I would have said this exact same thing to you a month ago. Okay.
That's
now, what I think, are we still going to take some lumps? Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. We're going to take some lumps. What I like is I don't think they're going to flinch.
Right.
I think they're going to stay their course and what they believe in. They're going to stay their course and they're going to do what they need to do. And
this is a very interesting word choice that you just, I have to now play this quote from your
son. Okay, go for it.
Because you chose a word.
Okay.
And Ross actually used that same word in the post-game press conference.
My husband uses it too, so we probably use it at home.
Maybe that's where it came from, but I'm going to play this quote from Ross from last night after the win, and you can analyze it and tell me if that sounds like...
Okay.
Okay, hold on.
Okay.
I'm not great with the...
Technology.
You know what? It's not easy, Kaylee. We're not all geniuses like you. Okay, well, maybe I won't play it.
You will, because I want to hear it.
Well, I'm going to play it, guys, but I don't know. How do you double-click on it?
Oh, this is, and this is live, so this is really good for me. Just winning. Here we go.
You know, and we know that we know the second half's our half. You know, I think this team is, we just don't flinch. whether we could be down, we could be up, I think this team is just always prepared to kind of, we're like waiting for the adversity to hit, because we know that's when we kind of play our top game. And
Well, and that's interesting to me, but that is how he grew up. But he's also, his high school coaches and everybody he's been around, that's the mentality, is you don't get too high and think you've done so great, and don't listen to all the noise when you're getting all these accolades, because you're not as good as that.
Right.
Okay. But when you struggle, and I'm kind of using the UNC Weber State.
Okay,
right?
There you go.
Then don't listen to all the noise of all of a sudden you're crap and you can't do anything either. I said, you're probably somewhere in between.
Right.
And you need to stay your course. We talk about quieting your mind a lot of trying to block out the noise. Mm-hmm. He got off of all social media.
I was just going to ask you.
Instagram 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Because he realized it was affecting him too much, like spending too much of your day worrying about what other people think.
Yeah. That's a very unique thing for a Division I quarterback to not have a Twitter.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean. Well, and he actually talked to one of the life coaches here when he was starting to struggle his freshman year, when he was just come off a state title. He's like the mayor of Bath that we always used to tease. He comes here, he's starting over, right? You're redshirting, you're nobody. And he was kind of like, and he graduated high school early, so he came in
January. He did come in early.
And he's kind of like here by himself, kind of like, oh my goodness, you know. So he goes and talks to this life coach, and the guy asked him one time, he said, well, how much time do you think you spend on social media? Yeah. So he must have seen Ross was worrying too much about what people were saying. And Ross said, I don't know, I'm going to track it. And then he realized, oh my gosh, I am spending so much of my time reading things, looking at things, worrying about things that I can't control and shouldn't matter. If I focus on the things I can control, and that's the thing about this staff, that's all they talk about is, we're going to focus on us, we're going to focus on what we can control. So, well, that's what he's been trying to do the last couple of years. So now he has a coaching staff that's like, that's
already
all they're talking about. So he's like, oh,
he was already
this is great. Yeah. This is great. I can buy into this.
He's thriving in an environment that
I think he cultivated. I think he is. He's happy and he's doing well. So, I mean, that's all you want.
Has he gotten any other players to get off Twitter?
I don't know.
Is he spreading the good word?
I don't know, but I will say this. He said he now has more things to talk about with his friends because he doesn't know everything as it happens every second.
So he can.
So now when he talks to people, it's like, it's amazing. You can actually have better conversations with people because he doesn't know what's going on every second everywhere.
Wow.
He said it's really been interesting.
Good.
I would love to implement that in my life. But with Emily would never let me.
First of all,
the world you're in, that'd be tough for you guys.
I know.
And even if she wasn't on social media, I would be taking pictures of her and putting it on social media.
But the world you guys are in, like your career choice, kind of, that would be tough. That would be tough.
It would be, and that's, I mean, Emily reminds me of that all the time. I'm like, I got to get going with it.
Well, I think it was 4 years ago that our people at Washington, you know, all our media people and everything else came in, and Elise was there. David McCreary was my other assistant at the time, and kicking and screaming, they made us sign up for Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, the whole bit, because that's our recruits. We're recruiting kids that are 15 and 16 years old, and they said, you have to do this.
Yep.
And they said, then you have to post something. This.
You have to.
And we're looking at each other like, we do not want to do this. And Elise is very private, and stuff like this, and I'm kind of like, I'm old. I'm old, right? Well, as soon as I started doing it, I loved it.
She's dynamite. That's how we met. Via Twitter.
And the funny part is now in Facebook, I have reacquainted through Facebook kids that I coached 25, 30 years ago.
And that must be amazing.
And then everybody I've ever coached, it's like you see their weddings, you see their kids. So now I'm loving it.
That's good.
I love it. But I used to think, I don't have time for this. How am I going to do this?
Yeah.
Well, when you're sitting in front of the TV, you're looking through pictures. It's on your own time. When you're sitting on a plane, it's on your own
time.
That time's
free. Mm-hmm.
But I'm loving it. But I'm kind of glad he's not worrying about all that right now. Because it seems to be helping him.
Well, and Justin's not, Coach, I shouldn't say Justin.
No, Wilcox. Coach Wilcox.
We're not friends.
We're not best friends.
I mean, no, I know what you mean.
I shouldn't say it because it's not professional for me. People are going to think we're like hanging out.
Right,
no,
right.
I do not hang out with Coach Wilcox, for the record.
I don't think he has a free moment. Anyway.
I don't think he does anymore.
I don't.
You're right.
I don't.
But he's not on Twitter, and there was a big debate when he got hired whether or not he'd get on, and a lot of the media were taking bets on that, and I don't think he ever will.
Right. Well, what cracks me up is I know many coaches that look like they're on it, but
they have
somebody else doing all their stuff for them. So to me,
just what I need in
which
my life.
To me, I don't want someone else posting for me.
That's fair.
Because to me, if I'm going to do it and if it has my name on it, I want to
Be in control of
your
content.
Yes, but I'm very much a control freak, too.
You know who is one of those coaches is Sonny Dykes. Used to have, we could say it now because he's not here.
But I think a lot of coaches do have someone that posts for them.
That's true.
Because they're like, I don't have time for that, but I know I need to do it.
And you can tell some of them are more stock than others.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Coach Gary Patterson, for example, from TCU, does his own, and he's hilarious.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I kind of really like that Coach Wilcox doesn't have one and doesn't have someone else doing it for him.
He's just like, nope.
Well, and I kind of like it that he just says, I don't want it.
Yeah.
And instead of, he could say, okay, I'll have one and then just have someone else do it for him. I kind of like it that he's like, I don't want one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I kind of like that.
Yeah.
It's, like,
it's very Coach Wilcox.
Well, and it's just, it reaffirms what you were saying about him is that he does what he's going to do.
Exactly.
He's on his path.
He's not going to change.
He's not going to change just
because
someone tells
him to. Because so much what happens in sports, and I think this is why we all love college sports, is the highs and lows, right?
Yeah.
The highs and lows. You never know who can get beat. You never know what.
Yeah.
But if you as the head coach allow all the highs and lows to completely affect your philosophy and what you're doing, if you keep flip-flopping of like, oh, I guess that didn't work, oh, I try this, and you let the emotions of the game get you and all that, you won't be very good.
Yeah.
Right?
And I think you start to lose credibility. You lose people's trust in you as well.
So I think that when you see them stay so steady, Eddie, and just stay on, like, staying on that course, and you're just going to, and I think that's why we're seeing this team not get down at halftime, whereas we're all sitting up the stands going, we're losing, we're losing, you know, you look at the sidelines and you wouldn't know that. It's like they still believe. They still think they can do it. And if they believe it and the coaches believe it, then that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to make – I think people are going to buy in.
Yeah.
I bought in earlier this season, but I think they keep doing that. Right. We're going to see more fans in the stands, bigger games.
Right.
Speaking of – you obviously have ties to Washington.
Yes. We're going up there this year.
How hard is that for you
Well, it's tough, but the last time Cal was up at Washington and I was still coaching there, I hosted a big tailgate for the Cal football families.
Okay.
And I wore my Cal gear.
Yes.
And all the coaches at Washington administration stuff teased me.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But they understood.
Right.
Because it's like, hey, this is your kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they understood. It will be easier this time.
Okay.
They're not paying me.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't have any.
It's like, but am I going there a day early to see all my friends and visit with the team and to see my, you know, yes.
Yes.
Because it's just going to be a fun time.
That's awesome.
You know.
That's going to be cool. It's a fun venue to watch a game in.
It is.
Have you been on the boats out there?
Yes. We had a boat that we shared with the high school to coach because they were our best friends.
Yeah.
And then we shared a boat. And lots of times, you can't live there and not have a boat. Now, we're not wealthy in any way, shape, or form. So it was a used boat that we shared with them.
Still there.
Well, what's funny is none of us had a lot of free time.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, okay, if we get this together and we can each, you know.
Yeah.
So it was wonderful.
That's
it
a bucket
so
list.
That is.
It was wonderful. And I would say do it. Just
yeah,
do it.
We're going to try.
Just
we're going to try.
It.
That's one of my favorite places.
Yeah.
So.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Do you have a...
So... We'll kind of wrap it up a little, but do you have...
I could talk to you literally all day long.
Oh, all day long, Do you have any, you know, we talked about this earlier, do you have any advice for women in this, you know, we're obviously not in the same industry, but it's sports.
We kind of are.
We are.
Kind of, yeah.
So
yeah.
Do you have any advice for women who are looking to, you know, they want it all. They want to be able to coach or be in sports or whatever and have a family.
So me. What is your advice for me? Please.
No.
Somebody.
Truthfully, I think I said it earlier, but we might not have been on mic yet.
Right. Yeah.
I really feel like whatever partner you find to have, share life with, and if you want children and you want all that, it's like you have to have someone that will really help. You know, there's certain couples that I see that one's doing a whole bunch of the work at home while the other person goes out for a career. If you're both trying to have big careers,
right,
and you want to have kids that are healthy and
well-rounded
and go to a lot of activities that you want to show up and be there, it's like you have to work together. I think what helped John and I was he was always a fall sport and I was always a winter sport.
Right.
So we never cared if we couldn't go to each other's events because we didn't need to sit there and watch each other coach, right?
Yeah.
So we would always, our big thing was one of us needed to be at the kids' stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. One of us had to be at the kids' stuff, even if it meant missing, you know, the other person's meet or game or whatever, which was fine with us. I think that the way we had our boys 14 years apart, not on purpose.
Yeah.
We thought we couldn't have any more for years, and all of a sudden Ross comes up. We're like so excited. We always said he was like our miracle baby, right?
There you go. Well,
because we enjoy being parents very much. We enjoy going to their things and all this other stuff. So that was like fun, but I think we would have liked having our kids closer together for them, their relationship. They're very close now as adults. But Dave left for college when Ross was still a little one, you know, and stuff. But Ross got dragged to everything. So he's been at a million different events. And that he thinks that's just what life is, you know. But I would say, I would think it'd be really tough to have multiple children.
Yeah.
And both of you have big time jobs that nobody's ever home. Or if it was in the same seasons, I don't know how you could do that, to be honest with you. Unless you had this great nanny or something. Yeah. I don't know. You know.
Yeah. But a family companion.
Yeah. But I know for many years, we barely made our bills too. So it's like we couldn't have afforded that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And to make a living. So I would say finding somebody that's, you could be compromised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then having people help you.
Right.
Like what we talked about as women, sometimes we don't want to ask for help.
Right.
But when I think about all the people along the way that have helped us, and I know I've mentioned the Bainters, Tom and Christina, the high school. Ross was starting fourth grade when we moved to Seattle.
Yeah.
And John got a job coaching. He coached at Bothell the first year. Then he got a job at Western Washington, which was 80 miles away each way for a year and a half. Well, Tom and Christina would come over after school. Usually Tom, because when he got off at the high school and Christina works down in Bellevue, he'd pick up Ross from the elementary school and he'd go back and play with their kids. They have two boys.
Right.
And Ross was a little bit older.
Right.
And so they all were playing in the yard until I'd get off practice and come. Half the time they'd have fed him dinner, half the time he's like part of their family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think about all the people that do help you along the way. I think you need that. And you know, when you talk about women, I think one of the things that we need to do better as women is support each other more. And I don't see that as much as I would love to see that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes, we know exactly.
It's kind of one of these things, and I don't know if it's a female characteristic or whatever. Sometimes, I don't know why we have this tendency sometimes to put each other down or look for the negative.
Right.
Does it really make you feel better?
Right.
Come on, you know, it's stuff. Whereas I think when you're helping other women, I think of all the strong women who have helped me. I think of Bev Plocky, the head coach at Michigan, who has helped me for years. She's still one of my best friends and has helped me for years. I think of Stephanie Remp, who is the associate AD at UW. She's now at Texas A&M the number two. She was always this person that just really, really emphasized being a strong woman and how can we support each other.
Right.
And she gave us all the book Lean In. And was like, please read it, you know, and things like this. But I mean, when you think about strong women in your life that have helped you, and then lots of times you can't pay those people back, but you can pay it forward to someone else. And you're kind of like, how can we help each other?
Yes.
You know, because we all did not get where we were by ourselves, ever.
Yeah. I think that is an awesome point and perfect to end with.
Okay. Yeah.
Because
you can't say it better.
Empower women, compromise.
Yes.
And you know, and pay it forward.
Yes. I'm gonna believe in yourself because sometimes we second guess ourselves all the time. You know, you look at our culture anymore with the magazines. It's like I'm never gonna be rich enough. I'm never gonna be pretty enough. I'm never gonna be thin enough. It's like, you know what? stop all that crap. Yeah. Just be the best person you can be every day. Perfect. You know? So
I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
It was so nice meeting you.
It was so great meeting you too.
Best version of myself is I'm gonna go kill this leaf blower over here because
I know
it's added some really amazing ambiance.
Yes, 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 yes.
We appreciate you coming on. Sure, I mean, I feel like we're going to be having you back again and again. We might have you do some guest hosting. I feel like this is,
you know what,
we're going to make it a three-person
pod. Send me a tripod.
I love to talk, as you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, the people that know me,
this is perfect.
I love it. So,
all right, well, thank you
so much.
Thank you guys. Awesome.
So that was one of the most amazing people I've ever talked to.
We did not get enough time with her. No. Like, I wish this podcast was 6 hours long because I think that's the amount of time we need to share all the amazing advice that she has.
Yeah, she's. I think we're going to have a special hosted edition where she comes on and hosts with us.
Guest host, yeah.
She literally blew my mind with how her life story, which I am going to write about, so I'm not going to talk too much about what she told me, but she has had an incredible journey in coaching with her husband, who's also a Division I coach, their two children, now Ross is playing Division I football, and he's a starting quarterback, and it's amazing. So I blew my mind. That was so great, and it's really great to hear that the Cal culture has not suffered from the badness from last year, the loss of all the coaches and the gutting of it.
It seems like they're thriving, really, you know?
Yes.
And I wonder if that has to do a little bit with, and I wanted to ask her, but we didn't get a chance, but with the fact that Justin Wilcox is so young, like, do you think that has something to do with this culture and the kids buying into it so early? I mean, obviously winning helps.
Yeah. But. And I think honestly with Coach Wilcox, I think his age is important, but I've always heard, and in the times that I have interviewed and met with him, he is such a player's coach. Mm-hmm. He literally, and I don't know if that's age. I feel like he'll be like that until, you know, the day he stops coaching. He's just dialed in and really has their best interest at heart. Not that other coaches didn't, but he has it in a way where they really sit up and pay attention when he walks in a room or when he says something that resonates. And maybe it is age. I don't know. But
so
we're excited.
We're very excited. Also, USC comes here to Cal Memorial Stadium this coming weekend, which we will be a part of and get to watch and enjoy that. And that's a big game.
It's
right? I mean, that's really, right? No, I'm just kidding. But it is a big game because it's, A, if Cal is able to pull that off, beating USC,
yeah,
that's going to be a huge story. But, I mean, I feel like, right, everyone's prediction is pretty much USC is going to.
Yeah, I'm sure. But I feel one of our classic pregame video bets, postgame on the field celebrations
coming on,
where I always choose Cal and always win. So they should actually be, like, thanking me that I'm coming.
Yeah.
No, I'm excited to see Darnold. You know, he has a very good chance to shred Cal's defense because that's not their strength, even though it's better.
It is better.
But Cal's resilience, it is similar to USC in that they don't let themselves get beat this year either, even if they're down. But Cal has this special never say die attitude that I think makes them insanely dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Even when they go on the road after USC and play Oregon and Washington State, I think those games are so hard on paper. You look at it, there's no way. But actually, I'm starting to buy in. Their attitude's trickling down to me and hopefully to fans. So
I think it's going to be really fun. And it'll be. So here's my question then. Mm. Let's play the if game. If Cal pulls this off and they win, does that defeat the mentality that SC is what it is?
I think at some point, I think that USC is going to lose a game.
Yeah.
And I don't, obviously it's not going to be in the South. So it will be a North team. And I don't think Cal's the contender for it, but I think that's what makes them so dangerous is this isn't a trap game per se, but it's not an easy game to win. Like you can't come in, you can't be USC and come in here and say, oh, we're going to shred this team like we have in the past, or, you know, they're easy because they have a new coach and they don't know what they're doing. They very much know what they're doing. And even when they don't, they just dig in.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's dangerous.
Well, I loved you saying trap game because we had one this weekend with San Diego and
Stanford. We have a definition of a trap game, and I want to have a mixtape where that is the name, and all we do is play the sound from that game. So look out for that dropping.
It's going to be hot.
It's going to be super hot. It's the the definition of a trap game, and it will be just the audio from Stanford San Diego State, because I told everyone coming. I literally can't go on record enough and say the amount of people I told that Stanford was going to lose. I told my dad. I told my mom. I told Todd Husak, the radio guy from Stanford, and he will vouch that I was right. He even texted me after and said, you were right.
Yeah. So for the people that didn't watch that game, it was...
That's a shame.
Yeah. What was wrong with you?
Yeah.
But also, so SDSU beat Stanford 20-17, which I think most people go into it and think like, oh, Stanford's obviously going to win. But here we go again with some Stanford stuff. They're not what they were. And I know that David Shaw wants to put it on that he doesn't need Christian McCaffrey, but hi.
Well, and Bryce Love, it's like Bryce Love is the bright spot on their team. Like, he did really well. I'm trying to, you know, he had 184 yards on 13 carries, and he had two touchdown runs, I believe, 153 and 150 yarder. And another one that set up, he had a good run that set up a field goal. So he was basically their offense.
The team, yeah.
And we knew that was coming, but he like the San Diego State running back, Rashad Penny. This is how I see Rashad Penny, a lot like Christian, in that you know what they're going to do, but they're so forceful that it doesn't matter that you know, because you can't stop them.
Yeah.
And Stanford couldn't stop Rashad Penny. He was literally a machine. He had 353 all-purpose yards. I mean, I'm sorry, that was in his Arizona State game. I'm getting ahead of myself because I wrote about him this week and all of his statistics, because I think he's amazing and I didn't think he was getting enough credit. But Stanford could not stop him. That was their biggest problem, even though they knew they had to.
Yeah.
So how does that work?
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know.
How do you actually...
We should have asked Joanne, because she's a coach, and she probably has some good insight to it.
But... Okay, so Penny had 32 carries, 175 yards, one touchdown. He was averaging 5.5 yards per carry, but he also had receptions, five of them for 31 yards. He averaged 6.2 yards per reception. So he's just, like, all around a good guy to have on your team.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So...
Yeah. So what about, what do you think about this Memphis beating UCLA? God.
I was glued to my TV during that game. Yeah. It was so much fun to watch. And not because, like, I want to hate on Rosen, because really, you know, I'm sure he's not a bad guy at the end of the day, but he,
But we root against him.
we don't root against him, but we like to see him suffer some adversity. And this is what I was saying.
We're terrible people.
No, we're not. So this is what I was saying, though, during the game. And we didn't get to watch together, so you missed all of my gem things. But basically, I was saying that Riley Ferguson, the Memphis quarterback, who is amazing, and his story is great. He took a year off from football, a complete year off, and, like, washed fences and fixed cars. Like, he's just an American success story, if there ever was one. And I equate him, I say that he would be Josh Rosen if Josh Rosen had not grown up or didn't have affluence or money or go to UCLA or any of that. That he would be that Riley, the blue collar, you know.
Yeah.
Riley Ferguson is the blue collar Josh Rosen, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
So it was really fun to watch their duality. They're both very good quarterbacks, but there was no defense in the game. The thing about UCLA and Memphis was that Rosen didn't have the wherewithal to finish the game, and my thing is that he's not – it's weird because he did close in that overtime game that they won, but he threw, like, three interceptions to end this game against Memphis. And I don't know if it's, like, mental fortitude. And somebody asked me earlier when I went on radio somewhere, who would you rather have lead your team, you know, Darnold or Rosen? And I think this was a perfect example of why I would not want Rosen leading the team, because I don't think he's a very – mentally strong guy. He can be clutch, but I think that's only because he knows how cool it makes him look. I don't think he wants to be clutch for the right reasons, if that makes sense.
Oh, poor Rosen. He's never going to come on this podcast.
No. Well, we don't have a hot tub anywhere that's portable, so obviously he will not be coming on the podcast. Yes.
Awesome. Well, let's talk about the USC beating Texas. Double overtime.
Yeah,
that was a crazy game. And no, I didn't get to watch games yesterday because I was at the beach celebrating my birthday. Mm-hmm. But I was following along on my phone, and USC being down with 48 seconds left And then next thing you know, I look on my phone and it's double overtime and they win. Like, how, what does that mean for them? It's honestly, Texas, so does it mean something? Like,
that's funny because there were more people at that game than there were at Stanford USC. And I was at Stanford USC and it was not empty, but it was not sold out. And Stanford was ranked like at all.
14.
Texas is not ranked. You know what I mean? So it's funny to me that that game was more important to people than the Stanford USC game, which I don't I mean, I do understand because Stanford's stars falling, but.
Well, do you think though that maybe there's just more Texas fans that wanted
travel.
To go? That travel?
Yeah, Stanford fans are apathetic. So yes, of course. I think that Darnold is putting up numbers, 397 pass yards and 3 touchdowns. He's putting up numbers in these games that are going to be so hard to ignore come Heisman time. And they have such an easy path through the Pac-12 South. This Texas win means more than people realize because it just shows, like, USC had not won an overtime game like that in the last 3 they've played. They lost the last 3. So for them to win in this one and like I said before, fortitude, mental fortitude, perseverance on the field, that's worth so much more than a ranking.
Yeah.
You know, and a statistic. Those kind of real qualities in players and in coaches that you believe in your coach, that's what it takes to win a national championship. That's what all the great teams have. So
now, do you think that USC is that caliber, a national...
It's crazy because I didn't think that before the season, but I saw them play against Stanford where they used more running game than passing, which was amazing. Watched them against Texas. I do. I think that this will be the year that the Pac-12 has an actual team in the four.
But we've talked about that you do think that they will lose. So who do you think is on their radar to
really
take it
question.
From them?
I really... Everybody, I think, is going to lose a game. I don't think anyone goes undefeated this year, but I may be wrong.
Anyone? Not even Alabama?
I don't think they go undefeated, no. Oh. And I've said that before in our last one.
I know.
I just don't think it's going to happen with all the good teams, but I can do both.
Can I please have some champagne, Emily?
I think that Cal is a very scary game for them. I also think they play Utah, who's ranked, but that's at home. They do have to go to Notre Dame. That, you know, Notre Dame's not great, but playing there is not easy. We went and saw Stanford struggle there. So
yeah. It's actually funny. I was listening to Colin Cowherd talking about Notre Dame and basically saying, like, you're not good enough to be an independent. Like, you need to join a conference.
But yet here
which is
they
so
are.
Funny.
But here they are just being independent and no one's like, everyone respects them.
Yeah.
Why? Even though they don't respect them. It's weird. I don't know. Because they're Notre Dame and they'll eventually turn around. So I don't know. That game was fun. Clemson-Louisville was obviously... Clemson defeated Louisville 47-21. That was a fun game to watch. Clemson kind of showing people what they're made of. Lamar Jackson, not so much.
Yeah.
Tough. If stock was up and down, obviously his is down a little bit. Which is tough because you like him.
Mm-hmm.
Penn State... outrageous performance against Georgia State, 56-0. Just
where are they coming from?
I told you.
I know. You
I'm
tell
so
us
sick
all the time.
Of telling people that I told you so. It's like the roughest part of my life. But
we Penn should State's give advice on how
to be right all the time. It's really Saquon. I think it's Saquon. I think I've been saying Saquon, but it's Saquon Barkley. 4 receptions, 142 yards, 1 touchdown. I even like Trace McSorley, their quarterback. I mean, he's putting up 309 yards, 4 touchdowns. This is solid. I mean, they're not playing Alabama, but it's solid. And then you had Washington beat Fresno State. That's a gimme. Michigan struggled against Air Force early, but they ended up beating them 29-13. So I think we saw everything we were supposed to see this week. There were really no surprises except for Stanford-San Diego State, but some of us weren't surprised.
Yeah, no, I don't think that was necessary. I think that had I really actually thought about it, I would have said that too. I was surprised... I was surprised that UCLA lost that game.
I'm not though, because like they.
But
just,
then again, I just I don't. I also, I'm
Memphis
really sorry, and I probably
sneaky.
Shouldn't say this, but like I just don't really care.
You have to care.
I know.
So sorry.
I just don't really care about them, but you know.
So we'll be at Cal USC, but we'll be keeping our eye on some other games. I like. Look at this one. Washington at Colorado.
Ooh.
I like that because Colorado and Folsom Field while not a hard environment to play in like Utah is, it's not easy. And they have some passionate fans there. Colorado can be sneaky. So I like that as a Pac-12 possible upset.
I was going to say sneaky for sure.
Yeah. I mean, then there's the given games where we see TCU's playing Oklahoma State. That's a 16-ranked TCU, 6th-ranked Oklahoma State. That's going to be... that's going to be a game.
Yeah.
Kaylee's not...
She's not
intrigued by that. Texas Tech at Houston, I like because Houston's coach's name is Major Applewhite, and I love that. Also, Texas Tech, I like watching Cliff Kingsbury, who I and others have dubbed the quarterback whisperer. I actually wrote about it on the Sportsman Journal, so you can check that out.
Check it out.
Texas Tech is having a make-it-or-break-it year. So they beat ASU, which was huge. Well, for them. And they need to keep winning games. So I like to keep my eye on them. And that's kind of really it for what's going to be lying ahead. A less exciting weekend, I think.
It's going to be a less exciting weekend because it's no longer my birthday.
Okay. Well.
So.
Yeah, but we live every weekend like it's our birthday. So that's our other piece of
advice.
I think
we should end on that. Yeah. Live every weekend like it's your birthday
weekend. Yeah. Cheers.
Bye.
All right. Well, we will be back next weekend with some... college football analysis, maybe some other sports world stuff if sports,
anything happens.
Yeah, if it gets itself together. And
hey, the Dodgers broke their 11-game losing streak.
Well, the Giants also welcome back Ryan Vogelsong and let him pitch one more time and retire as a Giant. So
no one cares. Okay. Check in with us next week.
We will see you then.